Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is June 2nd, 2025. This is your Fightful post-WWE Raw show. I am Sean Ross Sapp. I can't remember if I said that already, but by God, you're here right now. We got lots to talk about, some WWE departures, some behind-the-scenes news, all that courtesy of FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 a month in the business. Please subscribe over there. Today, we had news on some more talent that's headed towards AAA Worlds Collide. We had an update on The Miz a lot of people were asking about. Updates on Deonna Purrazzo, Kota Ibushi, and a spoiler from this show. Even if we don't have scoops threads, we still have some scoops in the threads. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Let the people know that you're watching this. Retweet my streams on Twitter if you don't mind. That goes a long way. But we are also on podcast platforms everywhere. We're going to try to make you all a little bit more aware of that. I know that I haven't been the best at putting that out there, but by God, you all are here right now. Drop a fruit emoji in the chat. Let me know what you guys want to talk about by sending super chats and humper chats like this gentleman, and we will read that in the main event. But super chats here at youtube.com/Fightful. We had an interview with Matt Cardona. Please check that out. Humper chats, no matter where you're watching, H-U-M-P-E-R chats.com, we got a busy weekend. Quite frankly, I do not know who all is covering what this weekend, but I know I'm covering WWE Money in the Bank, by God. So we'll be here for that. And we have a ton of news on FightfulSelect.com. Enough with the plugs. Let's get into a couple things. Before we get into the show, I know that a lot of people within wrestling might not know, but gentleman by the name of Jordan Breen passed away recently. I covered MMA full-time for quite some time, and he was the editor of a website called SureDog. And man, I cannot begin to explain the level of knowledge about MMA in which he had. He and I weren't particularly close, but he was always such a welcoming presence in a field that I got to say, sometimes there are, especially at that period, there were a lot of levels to that. He was at the top of it. He would always treat everybody with respect and care and kindness. And I really admired him and his work. And he was just such an incredible voice in the MMA world for many, many years, and just a splendid guy. And I wanted to send my love to he and his family and so many of his friends that are definitely feeling hurt today. Rest in peace, Jordan Breen, former editor of SureDog. But man, there's a lot of people bummed out in WWE as well for obvious reasons. Now this is going to focus more on R-Truth as it is than it is Valhalla and Carlito. Now Valhalla also announced that her contract is coming up. It won't be renewed. She has been on maternity leave for quite some time. Carlito was very, very positive and like pretty funny about his departure as far as his contract not being renewed, joking that he stole money from WWE. he won a title in WWC this past weekend. So I don't think that he knew as of yet, but he knew his contract was coming up. All these people knew their contracts were coming up. It was just a matter of if they get renewed or extended. Our friend Demon Diva right here spoke with him this week. I don't know what exactly he knew or when he found out. I'm going to assume that he found out on Sunday when the others did as well. But listen, that dude is in shape. He will go right back to Puerto Rico. He will do really good work there. And the people in Puerto Rico will be very, very happy to see him there. And then the R-Truth departure happened. And this is one that I've got a lot of feelings about it. I got a lot of things to say about it because there are I've covered hundreds of departures, hundreds of releases, hundreds of contracts expiring, hundreds of outright firings, all this. I've never seen one get such universal disdain, disappointment, frustration, anger as R-Truth. Now, let's put all this stuff in perspective. This man is 53 years old, but I often recite some advice that I got from Christopher Daniels. I asked him why he rarely botched moves, and he said, well, I never do anything in minute five that I can't do in minute 30. And some of you may have heard me apply that to Jeff Jarrett, where I joke that he never did anything in 1989 that he couldn't do today. So all of his matches, he's still able to do that. R-Truth is the same. Like, he can do all the stuff that he did in 2001. But the thing is, it's not like very simple stuff. It's very athletic movements. Like, it's scissor kicks and those kicks where he does it and he spins around and like the spinning back elbows and all that. It's very athletic stuff. He's still in shape. He's well-liked. He's universally loved. And I mean universally loved. At some point, I hear something not wonderful about almost everybody in wrestling. Never about him, man. Never about him. Only heard of him getting like upset or bothered one time. That's when somebody almost hurt him. He's wonderful to do media with. He's so helpful backstage. He's a great locker room guy. It's something that has upset and honestly pissed off a lot of people in WWE. And you have never seen an outpouring of reaction like that one. Now, there are a couple things I want to say. If WWE is to do departures, this is the way that I have long said that I prefer they do them. Let somebody ride out their contract and that be that. This is not him getting fired on an unexpected element. I mean, he was surprised. I want to say that. Our FightfulSelect.com report mentioned it. A talent relations employee called him. Apparently not top brass. A talent relations employee called him and let him know. And he was surprised. And a lot of people were surprised. But this was not a release like many of the others. So this is the way that I prefer WWE to do that. If it were up to me, of which it's not. I've got no problem with WWE, AEW, TNA, any company seeing things through like this and not renewing contracts. It doesn't mean that I think it's a good move. I think it's a very bad move to have not extended R-Truth in some capacity. Even if you're wrapping up his career, say, okay, well, we're going to give you like, he is one that, listen, sorry, my mind's going so many different ways right now. You want to talk about a guy who was worthy of getting a bit of a retirement tour? R-Truth. Play off the John Cena thing. The R-Truth Ron Cena retirement tour. Like, when John Cena turns back babyface, R-Truth says, you know what? I think you're right, and I think I need to wrap it up as well. Maybe he's not ready, and that's fine. He's already got interest from top indies. But this is something that I think is going to affect WWE long-term. And DNC Digital says, you mentioned the backstage reaction to Truth. Is that there a possibility as a larger impact than people expected? People leaving a change in morale. There are going to be a lot of people that think that I am being dramatic right now. Sorry to put that back up there. There's going to be a lot of people that think I'm being dramatic right now. I think the last week and a half is sincerely the biggest softball that WWE has lobbed AEW's way. I'm not calling on AEW to sign R-Truth. I think he'll probably pop up in TNA at Slammiversary. I think that makes a lot of sense. What I mean by that is they ran NXT Battleground up against AEW Double or Nothing, and AEW's pay-per-views increased from their last pay-per-view. Their pay-per-view sales did. And that's without Fight as a platform, Triller as a platform. If anybody could possibly deny, even the most like, cover your eyes, cover your ears, and pretend that WWE doesn't care about AEW type of people are out there. If you ever believe that, you know now. Three shows All In weekend. And when the first two didn't hit up against All In, they booked a third one. They're putting Goldberg's retirement. They're putting an all-women show, which, by the way, is up against Beyonce and the MLB All-Star Weekend. Good luck with traffic that day. And then they added an NXT show on top of it. So very clearly, they're thinking something there, whatever that might be. I saw an awful lot more people being like, all right, it's getting kind of ridiculous. Now, you'll still have those same people, that'll be like, business is business. Whatever, man. Just saying what's out there. Very clearly, they're on WWE's mind in a heavy way.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
And I think that Tony Khan's response to that at the Double or Nothing press conference was very good. It was a sign of, and I'm not saying tide shifting, AEW moving to number one, WWE dying. That ain't happening. It's not the case. But definitely some tide shifting in perception. And internally, R-Truth not being brought back is definitely a thing that has caused some internal shifting. You are seeing multiple big free agents that WWE has landed that AEW actually would have paid more money to. Now, I'm not going to say specifically Mariah May is one of those. I don't know that to be the case. I'll find out more. But you're seeing some people, while they're making pretty broad budget cuts, while ticket prices are going up, 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 and leveling out to some degree. But look at the price of replica titles compared to a couple years ago. And WWE isn't always matching the pay that AEW is, because it's the dream to go to WWE. Now, there have been plenty of WWE like ruthless eras of firings and stuff like that. And I don't know why anybody in the last 5+ years would have thought this still. Everybody is up for firing. They're almost nobody is safe. 99% of people there are up for their contract not being renewed or firing. And that's just, that is the nature of business, unfortunately. But those within WWE that thought that maybe it wasn't a possibility, it certainly is a possibility. It is kind of wild that it took a 53-year-old man not having his contract renewed to do that, but it certainly did with a lot of people. Could you see them renewing him after this? I could absolutely see them reapproaching R-Truth and trying to bring him back. There were R-Truth chants all night. Vic says, feels like Triple H or talent EVP Chris LaGentle should have had enough respect for Truth 17 years to call themselves not a random staffer on a Sunday. I agree. That call should have came from the top, especially for him. And no disrespect to Carlito or Valhalla, who I've always heard are wonderful employees, but R-Truth treated with a little bit of a different care there. as well. But also, something I want to put over. Shout out to Carlito for getting a 2-year contract off of a pop in Puerto Rico and him showing up and looking jacked at that Puerto Rico show, which I wish I was at. I so wish I was, man. So sorry, I was getting a message that is kind of important to that subject. Don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but if the person that sent me that, who is watching the show, deems that it's okay that it's okay for me to share that info, let me know. But he got a 2-year contract off of that insane pop and barely wrestled the last few months, just sat around being jacked and funny, and now is going to go back home and have some fun. Oh, man. Matthew Ham says, what's up with Triple H's booking lately? Why is he not booking like NXT Black and Gold? I mean, for a more broad base, I understand it, but do I need interference in, like, everything? No, but that's what we got tonight. Interference in, I think, every single match. I think all of them. Ugh. Hey, Sean, when exactly did AEW know for sure Mariah was leaving the company, and how do you think WWE will go about her debut? Thanks for all you do. I'm pretty sure they had an idea by March or April because she wasn't brought back to TV, and I didn't hear about any creative in that sense. I don't know if they had broached a contract extension by then, but I know that by then they had a pretty good idea that she wasn't coming back. On the WWE front, do you know how morale has been after the last major releases and the Truth one? Honestly, it didn't adjust much after the releases like a month ago. Just a little bit more paranoia with that one for sure. But with this, it caused a definite hit to morale. There were definitely people that were frustrated and disappointed and disheartened and all that. And he says, especially after the news has it that Triple H gave the final go-ahead, I would think a lot of them, even major stars, feel like they could get released at any time now. Yeah, and I mean, this wasn't a release. This was his contract was coming up. He did know that his contract was coming up. He just thought that they would renew it, from what I understood. But that didn't happen. And I saw people say, well, it's not a charity. R-Truth is not a charity case. He wrestled 50 times in the last 70 weeks. He was on TV a whole bunch. Had a top-selling shirt last week. Tony, I'll answer your and address the Sportskeeda thing at the end of the show. I don't want to bring the show to a screeching halt for those who don't give a damn about that. But I will talk about that since you super chatted it. But let's talk WWE Monday Night Raw. And let me tell you guys, it's awful nice getting to watch WWE Raw without commercials. Thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. And guess what? I'm going to get to watch all of WWE this week on NordVPN.com/Fightful. Here's how it works. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You get a Netflix subscription. You can watch SmackDown, NXT, and this weekend's Money in the Bank PLE. All due respect to cable, all due respect to Peacock, all that stuff. You don't need it when you got NordVPN.com/Fightful and a Netflix subscription. You change your virtual location and you get the content the way it appears somewhere else. Right now, you get NordVPN and 4 free months with that 30-day money-back guarantee at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You can also protect your online privacy, listen to your favorites abroad, shield your data from snoops and criminals. Have a lot of people saying, oh, well, what tier do I need to be on for that? The bottom one, my friend, the very, very bottom one. And you get that great deal for like 2+ years. 2+ years of NordVPN.com/Fightful costs less than 1 month of YouTube TV. So if for some reason you're like, oh, well, man, I got to watch the local channel on here. I got to watch USA, all that. You don't need to. And you get pay-per-views at the prices that they're going to be overseas. Works on all your devices, works on all your operating systems. I have it on like several different things up here. I'm going to find out if I can add it to my PS5 as well. But I do have it through my router, all that good stuff. NordVPN.com/Fightful is a must get for wrestling fans, especially ones that want to save some money. CC Bonbon says it's Daniel Bryan 2010 release vibes, maybe SummerSlam. So I just want to make this clear. It wasn't a release, contract expiration. So R-Truth's, like, they could just go to R-Truth tomorrow and say, well, actually, we would like to extend you. But I don't know that that's going to happen. But, I mean, maybe they hear the reaction tonight. Maybe they see the reaction within the roster, and they do. I'm not going to rule that out. It could absolutely happen. And then they could say, it could just roll up in Money in the Bank and be like, hey, guys, what's up? And they're like, didn't you get fired? Type of thing. It could absolutely happen. I don't count on it happening. But I really thought that, you know, if anything, bring him back on an ambassador-style deal. Have him go work TNA occasionally. It's one of the more baffling ones. It's not Daniel Bryan 2010, because Daniel Bryan 2010, he was a rookie in WWE, and that was a lot of fan uproar specifically. Like, there were a lot of people on the roster like, damn, why'd they fire him? That sucks. But it wasn't the type of reaction that R-Truth is getting now. Way, way different. CM Punk comes out. He brings out Sami Zayn. He sings Sami Zayn's song as well. Sami and Punk go back and forth, and Sami says, Punk, you need to win tonight, because if you don't, Seth Rollins is going to yield this power. He will win. He will win Money in the Bank. They will rule over this show with an iron fist, and we don't want that. And beyond that, he's like, I want you to win the title. That way I can come after you. That's how I want it. But mainly he said, you need to prevent Rollins from ruining everything. Sami was heavily threaded throughout this show. Both of these gentlemen were. Both were. I don't know what feels like it's missing from WWE Raw in some of these, but it feels like it's missing that one singular main character of the show, if you know what I mean. And that's okay. You don't always have to have that. Man, my hair is a wreck right now. But I feel like it is missing that. But the ensemble aspect with the star power they have, Sami and CM Punk and Rhea Ripley, and listen to that Stephanie reaction tonight. My God, the groups that we're seeing, I think, are playing very well. It just feels like for the last however many years, there has been that Cody Rhodes or Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? And that isn't the case on this show anymore. And it's thrown me a little bit for a loop. Doesn't mean that it's wrong. There's a great Stephanie Becker vignette. Just incredible. Incredible. And then we got the qualifier. And ya boys at FightfulSelect.com. We reported, hey, there's been some talk of Stephanie being in Money in the Bank last week, actually. And then this week, ahead of Raw, we said, hey, there's some talk of Stephanie actually being in the match and doing pretty well. And then we reported today, Liv Morgan actually isn't planned for Money in the Bank. She's planned for Worlds Collide with Dominic. Get that $5.99 in over at Fightful Select. They had a really good match. Every time Ivy Nile gets the opportunity, she does really good, man. Like, she always looks like she belongs. I want to see something more out of Ivy Nile. I really want to see Ivy Nile get an opportunity. Now, clearly, it was not going to be in this. It was not going to be her beating one of these two, unless this was a catalyst for a Stephanie Liv feud. But I got to say, this was really, really good stuff here. Fantastic match. There was that double code breaker that Liv did that I really liked. Stephanie stopped the Oblivion and ended up pinning Ivy. this was a really good qualifier match, as WWE usually does triple threat and fatal four-way matches very well. They've got that formula down. It stood out a lot more years ago when all their matches came to a screeching halt with a rest hold, which isn't the case anymore, because why the hell did that always happen? Just do a big move and sell. But they tend to have a very good formula for triple threat and fatal four-way matches. And this was no exception. But Stephanie's reaction tonight, this is a person who's been on NXT largely. A year ago was doing a Forbidden Door match with Mercedes. They've gotten her over very, very fast. This is what you want. And you immediately want to show your main roster audience that she is worth a damn, that she is somebody that you need to see as a top person. So I love this booking. I love the reaction that she got. The reaction she got backstage was fantastic as well. Cut a little bit of a promo in Spanish as well. But Rhea Ripley going up to her without her R-Truth shirt on, by the way, made her, I assume they made her take it off. But this is a very promising reaction for Stephanie Vaquer, and that's what you want. Absolutely what you want. Home run right here. Love for Boost says, just treat the briefcase like a 24/7. Make no place safe. Hunting champs at weddings, airport, grocery stores. I think the 24/7 title could have been so good, but they just, that era, no, man. This era would have sucked too, because they just don't care about anything. Did WWE see the Metro Boomin tweets? Let him produce. Not only did they see, wrestlers were sending those tweets to some higher ups. Judgment Day beat the War Raiders. So War Raiders will be without Valhalla, who hasn't been with them for like a year and a half at this stage. But listen, they're still a really good tag team. I still think Ivar's hot tag is a phenomenal hot tag. One that I'm always like, all right, what's he going to do? How hard's he going to kick this guy? What's going to happen? But the theme of this show from this point on is interference, 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 interference. It is the same thing over and over and over and over again. This time it's Roxanne proving her loyalty, or at least impressing Finn Balor and Judgment Day. However, it is the same thing repeatedly. At no point has it felt like, do I go into one of these matches and feel like I'm going to see something different happen? And that is immensely frustrating in a 2.5 hour program. Terry Allen says, Raquel, Carlito romance, wish it developed greater. Yeah, they kind of abandoned that one as well. Good match between, which I love Finn Balor and JD McDonagh as a tag team. They worked so well as a tag team. So well as a tag team. War Raiders are a team that should get some time. This whole division, first off, they probably need to take a team. I'd say Pretty Deadly. Send them to Raw. Because let's look at the WWE Raw roster on Fightful. We have a phenomenal resources section. But let's look at who they got. A-Town Down Under, Alpha Academy, Creed Brothers, Judgment Day, the LWO. By the way, get well soon, Joaquin Wilde. He was knocked out cold before the show. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, New Day, War Raiders. I feel like, first off, just throw Pretty Deadly over there. Add some character to this division. And I think that would go a long way. Because SmackDown has Bloodline, DIY, Fraxium, Phantasma, Los Garza, Machine Guns, Street Profits. send Pretty Deadly over to Raw. I think that would go a long way. That way you could have people interfere in their matches as well. Luis says they should have sent Fraxium to Raw when they were called up. Man, they built a workhorse division over on SmackDown. My God, man. I would love to just, listen, put like six teams in a ladder match. Forget three or four. Put like six of them in a ladder match on SmackDown. Just insane. Like the workhorse division they've got there. The Line Drive says Judgment Day Clubhouse felt lifeless without Carlito. It really did. It really did. Like, I thought maybe a reference, maybe anything. It just felt absent. It didn't quite have that same lightheartedness, you know what I meant? I'm not going to act like this is like a monster loss for WWE or anything, but like, why not write him off? You know what I mean? A little bit strange. A little bit strange. Why are they putting Liv and Dom in Worlds Collide? I think they're going to be in a segment where they confront somebody or vice versa. That's what I think is going to happen. So backstage, Finn is talking with Liv Morgan, and Liv's like, I see what you're up to. Finn's like, listen, I know it got out of control, shoulder rubs and nugs, all that stuff. But let her prove herself. Let her go out there and be in Raquel's corner. And Liv's like, no, I'm going to be in Raquel's corner. That's how we're going to handle that. I'm going to be in Raquel's corner. I'll do my job. And then Dominic apologizes to Finn. Finn's like, no, we're good. We're good. I'm waiting on this babyface Dominic turn, guys. I got to see it. Got to see it. Well, what I did see was Kairi Sane defeating Raquel Rodriguez. Raquel dominated this match. There was a really great suplex that got countered into a DDT by Kairi. Loved that. But I'll tell you what I don't love. Interference again. Liv Morgan interfered. Io Sky made the save. I think, didn't her music hit in the middle of the match? What kind of producer does that to the two people in the ring? Maybe I'm wrong, but I could have swore EO's music hit during the match. I love that Kairi won. How about we get a tag team title feud going? Liv and Raquel feuding with any tag team? Are there any tag teams? The Secret Hervis, who are feuding with Zelina collectively as a unit. Damage Control's done. But I'm just like, damn, man. Like, why on earth is the music hitting during the match? So I've got some dead air here because I'm like, I'm baffled. Liv ends up scratched up by this. She's all right, but oh boy. Here, let's go. Boy, Flame Inc., you are about to get flamed. So when AEW does a lot of interference, it's perfectly okay. Yet when WWE does it, it's the worst thing ever. Please explain this to me. I'll explain that you're a fucking idiot. Look at me. I hate saying this on the air. You are a fucking dope. Tune into a show. Tune into a post show when AEW has a bunch of interference on it. Much less interference every single match, every single week. Why is this shit a thing? Whose shows you been watching? Huh? Had a guy tell me this week, you never criticize AEW. I'm like, damn, did I not talk about the Death Riders storyline? Did I not hate the four-way that led up to that? Do I not hate interference in those matches? Do I not hate when people get title shots off of losses in AEW? Do I not say, damn, I wish they would consolidate some titles? What? Why does this stuff mean anything? Damn, what is ROH? Does it mean a damn thing? I canceled our ROH show because it's pointless. We didn't do a Rampage show because it was pointless. We'll sit here and act like, oh my God, but going WWE, what do you think AEW is like exempt from criticism? Here's the difference. The Death Rider story sucked. Then when the focus was taken off Moxley and his long reign that nobody liked and focused on the gang war element of it, it got better. Do you think that I just sit there and ignore the fact that Scorpio Sky's wasted 3 years of his career there? Deonna Purrazzo hadn't been on TV. They could institute a tag team division for the women and do that. Why do you think that these criticisms don't exist? Because some dumbass Twitter accounts claim that? The most socially inept, media illiterate Twitter and Facebook accounts on the world swear, well, the media says, my God, brother, what are we talking about here? What kind of 2019 ass claim is this? What? I don't like this no matter where it is. Flame Inc., tell me, when does AEW do a lot of interferences? Where are you at, friend? I've seen you in here before. At least leave a thumbs up on your way out, something. Where are these dummies coming from that think that AEW doesn't get criticized? And where were you before? What were you claiming we didn't criticize before AEW came along? Was it New Japan or ROH or something like that? Back when I was doing ROH post shows and nobody else was. And I was like, damn, man, Trent Beretta kicks out of an awful lot of stuff. Man, I don't like Toru Yano on New Japan. Up at 4 a.m. doing New Japan post shows. Is that what you were saying we didn't criticize? What are we doing here? I hope you're writing me a novel in response here. Because you don't watch our Wednesday shows. You have never heard us cover a Chris Jericho segment. And buddy, let me tell you. If you are fine with the interference that you saw tonight, you are going to love AAA. That much I'll tell you. Flame Inc., listen, you've been in this chat before. You've been all right. But damn, man. If there is one thing that annoys the hell out of me, it is this type of stuff. This type of stuff, man. They retired the NXT women's tag titles and maintained a healthier women's tag team division than main roster ever had. Yeah, except when they fired one of the women who they had discussed for a call-up and the tag team titles. That's another one. Yeah, boys broke at FightfulSelect.com this week. Yeah, Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend were discussed for a tag title run and a call-up, and they didn't do it. And I think Jakara Jackson, I don't want to do her the disrespect of mispronouncing the name of which she's using now. Like Mara Sade, I think I just did do her the disrespect of it. But you want me to tell you somebody who I expect things from? I expect things from her. Go back and look at how many Performance Center recruits, once they got fired, just abandoned wrestling altogether. You saw one last month say, my athletic career is over. Like there ain't any other wrestling out there. Not Jakara Jackson. She got her ass up and was working straight up. She got her ass up and took bookings. There are things in her future. Love that. Lucky Charm says no Dom match at Money in the Bank or AAA show. He's from Cali, too, plus luchador aspect. Wish they had him interacting with the mid-card division. At least they mentioned AJ again after teasing it literally 5 weeks ago. Well, he is going to be featured on Worlds Collide as of now. That was the plan for him to be featured on the show and, like, I think do a promo or something like that. But, yeah, he's going to be doing something. Got a Becky vignette. I love it, man. This is really coming together. The feud's about to end, I would imagine, because I think that Becky probably loses this weekend again, helps make Lyra again, and then Bayley comes back and you feud there. I know some people have said, well, Bayley is going to compete for the IC title. If they wanted to do that, I'd be okay with that too. I am okay with either one of these two winning. But you can tell that Becky, and KE775 says Becky's being super kind and giving to Lyra. Hopefully it pays off. I think it already is paying off. Now, I want to go ahead and say this. Disproportionate number of what chance going towards women. I want to say this again. You're a fucking dork if you do a what chant at a wrestling show. Sorry, I don't make the rules. You're a dweeb. If you do it towards a woman, double dork. Double dork. Ain't getting no butt in the foreseeable future. At all. But, and here's my thing. Even when it doesn't match the cadence of what they're saying, it's just people popping themselves and trying to get themselves over. Don't be a dork. Don't be that guy. Because it's always guys, too. The women are just standing there like, hey, look at these dweebs. But Lyra, like, cut her off. And I thought handled herself really well. And I'll say this again. Man, Lyra coming out with that type of entrance, the crowd going, woo, every time. That's good stuff, man. That is really, really, really good stuff. Big pops for their interactions and all that. Lyra is like, no, no, no. Let's go ahead and fight right now. And the crowd popped for it. Like, one of the most elementary-ass lines in pro wrestling. No, let's do it now. And the crowd was like, yeah, yeah, give it to us. Outside of the what chants, fantastic crowd tonight. You know, and they chanted for R-Truth as well, which didn't go along with the show, but you're going to have that tonight. I thought this was really good. Becky goes, I don't wrestle or fight in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I wrestle in Los Angeles, which I thought was also good. This was really good stuff, I thought. Becky is helping establish and make Lyra here, and she's doing it a lot on the microphone. And you see that confidence in Lyra build up every single week. I think Lyra is a player, and this feud has done more for her than the last year of booking prior did for her. It's just really, really good stuff. And I want to say the Bayley thing as well helped out an awful lot. Speaking of Oklahoma, listen, I am not an Oklahoma City Thunder or Indiana Pacers guy. I'm a little more sympathetic to the Pacers geographically. I am an Indiana Fever fan, but I am pumped for this NBA Finals, and Pat McAfee cut a great heel promo on the crowd in Oklahoma and made Michael Cole wear his tank top. That was a great piece of crowd reaction, and the fact that they ended up doing it with an Indiana Pacers shirt in the state where the Pacers are going to be playing against a team in the NBA Finals, you couldn't have scripted that better. You could not have scripted that better. Just amazing. But where I stand, listen, Pacers geographically close. I am a Raptors guy, but the Pacers geographically close. But listen, man, the Oklahoma City, Kentucky Wildcats, I got a soft spot for them, man. Feels like everybody that has ever been a Kentucky Wildcat gets through there. And Cason Wallace, I think, was one of the most NBA-ready picks in that draft. And I love SGA, man. We were so lucky to have him. So lucky to have him. Jonathan Corona, my dude. First off, Jonathan, I just want to say, hope your family's doing okay. We love you, buddy. Says, what's up, Sean? Sorry, I'm late. Hey, I'm just glad you're here, my friend. Flame Ink is back. Hey, listen, I respect you, Flame Ink, for coming back here. He says, I'm not saying you guys don't criticize it. I'm only trying to say it happens a lot of times in AEW and doesn't seem to be called out by many. Wasn't looking to get you heated, and I'm sorry. My friend, it is what you are watching now is a show. That's it. We are talking wrestling. I am not going to leave this show after that talking point and think, Flame Inc., what a jerk, what a dick. Absolutely not. You do not have anything to apologize for, Flame Inc., whatsoever. It was a phenomenal talking point that I enjoyed going off about. But to your point, and I'll break that down as well, all due respect to Busted Open Radio, to JD from New York, to Denise Salcedo, to Santi, to Reg, to anybody else who covers AEW, I do not give a fuck what they criticize and don't criticize about the show. That's them. No one reviewer, no one commenter or person reflects the base. I do not reflect what Denise, Reg, JD, Busted Open, Alex Palowski, Ibu, Wrestle Purist, PWN. I do not reflect what Dave Meltzer or any of those people say about AEW, and they don't reflect what I say about AEW or WWE or any of that. I have dropped 3 F-bombs today. I tried to cut it out. But by God, it's not like that. And that's a thing that does frustrate me is when media gets painted in a broad brush and media is evolving so much that I don't think that's fair. I'll give you a good example. Somebody joked today about asking about the releases and somebody said, oh, well, they'll just ask about the Waffle House order. Like that was a dunk or something. Malcolm is a phenomenal content creator. He is not out here breaking news about releases. He's not doing reviews of shows. He's out there doing his own type of content, and that's okay. In fact, if you had heard me rant about this before, you would hear me say, people could say, oh, well, I work for Wrestling Donuts. What's your favorite donut? And I wouldn't be mad about that question at a press conference because media is everything. Media is not one thing. There is room for everything in media. There were 12-year-olds in some of the press conferences. Good. Do coverage for kids. Absolutely do that. There is room for everything. Everything. Jonathan says, have you heard anything about old Metro Boomin doing theme songs for WWE since Def Rebel sucks? And have you heard about Def Rebel doing theme songs for UFC? I've heard a little bit about about the interest from talent about Metro Boomin. But as far as Def Rebel, first off, they do suck. They're really bad. And I'll have people say, yeah, but that Roman theme. Yeah, that knockoff of the Succession theme was great. So good for them for having that inspiration. But the hit rate for Def Rebel compared to Jim Johnston, Mikey Ruckus, Jimmy Hart, who else we got? Dale Oliver even. Dale Oliver's was all stolen from other people. And even CFOs, because I think that a lot of people romanticize CFOs in a way that I do not. They had some catchy stuff, but it was like 30, 40 second loops. But there definitely are some wrestlers that are talking about it. When do you think Finn makes a move and turns on Dom? I think within the next month or so, and they lead up to SummerSlam. Jonathan Cronus says, waiting forever for WWE to change their stage, miss the old stages, and with these firings, do you think it's Ari, Nick, Triple H, who is responsible? It's a collective thing. It's talent relations. It's the higher-ups. It's Triple H. It's all those people. And listen, if Triple H says, no, we really need to keep somebody for a creative situation, then they're going to keep them. You, by and large, I'm not putting all of it on Triple H, but yeah. Yeah. I think that it's a collective decision, but creative is the most important part. You, Kyle, says, does Tony Khan ever pay attention to when there's negative PR around WWE? If he does, why does he never seem to take advantage and capitalize? I think the best way to take advantage of bad WWE PR is to put on a good wrestling show. Not to do anything else specifically. Put on good wrestling shows. I'll tell you sometimes how little Tony Khan is paying attention to some of the stuff WWE does. The night CM Punk returned to WWE, I got a call from AEW and Tony Khan was in the room. And it was just clarifying that Shibata will be back. And then his visa was up. That was it. Because I had inquired about it and I got that answered. Wasn't about CM Punk. It was about that. Sami Zayn and Jey Uso versus Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker. I don't remember how the hell this match ended, to be honest with you. But I know it ended with interference. Let's go. Pour one out for my dude Flame Inc. Interference. Woo! I love it, boys. Let's go. Interference. Yeah. Let's go. I can wrap myself up like a goddamn mummy. They will pull me out of the tomb and I will open my eyes, wipe the crust, and I will open it to interference in a WWE match at this point. I am getting so sick of all this. Somebody says, where's that paper come from? Well, Luis, you might remember that a couple years ago, there was a video of me leaning off screen and people thinking that I snorted coke. And then I said, nah, guys, I got allergies. I don't want to blow snot on the screen. It's because I keep this right by my desk. I was blowing my nose because I have allergies and a deviated septum. Punk makes a save with a chair, by the way. That happened. DNC Digital says, all the best to Truth Carlito. Bronson Braun looked downright scary walking to the ring. They did. They look incredible. They're two phenomenal talents. Says, great media post earlier. Thanks for the combo tonight. I will talk about the Sports Kita thing at the end of the show. Also, Pat McAfee putting over Mr. Iguana was top tier stuff. That was good stuff. Man. Jonathan Corona says, last thing for production this Saturday for Worlds Collide. Who is doing the production? WDB, AAA. I don't know about ring announcers. I think you'll see a mix with ring announcers, but I think WWE is doing the the visual production from what I understand. And Luis is saying that Hector Moody Jack Melendez revealed that he will be in creative for Worlds Collide. Man, they should be saying stuff out there, huh? Damn. Tyron says, Sean, what's it like being the most influential wrestling podcast personality in Kentucky? Do you care about how that hurts all other way too bloated egos? I do not think I am a more influential wrestling podcast personality than Jim Cornette. Absolutely not. In no way, shape, or form do I think that what I say influences more people in any capacity than Jim Cornette. His viewer audio base is probably like way, 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 way more than mine. Way more than mine. Plus, he has like the people that listen to him for specific, like they know and love him. I absolutely don't think that I am there. Absolutely. And also, I don't think that Jim Cornette gives a single shit about my show. Beyond them using the occasional news bit as a talking point. That's it. I've never had any bad interactions with Jim. J.N. Gunther backstage. I love Gunther. Gunther's getting a little Karrion Cross-ish, which I'm going to talk about momentarily. He's like, man, you really are too good of a guy. Like you, he did slip up and say Saturday night's main event. He's like, but 2 days before a huge match with me, you are doing a match at Money in the Bank just to be a good dude. Just to be a good dude. Hope it works out for you. Are you going to acknowledge the R-Truth chance? When did you get here? Karrion Kross is backstage, and he confronts Sami Zayn. I like this. And Sammy's like, why are you messing with me? Karrion Kross goes, because you're lying. You're lying to people. You're lying to fans. You're lying to yourself. You're a bad guy. We're all bad guys. We all do bad things we're not proud of. And he's like, you've even done bad stuff in the past. It's just, had you chosen to do those bad things at the right times, you'd be a champion 10 times over, world champion 10 times over. I'm going to have a story about Kross this week on FightfulSelect.com. It's pretty interesting. How about this one? Well, you want me to promote FightfulSelect.com? Nobody asked me to. I'm going to. Wardlow update. Where he's been, what's going on, if he's coming back soon. FightfulSelect.com this week. $5.99 a month. Get it there instead of one of the places that I've had to correct for aggregation. But Kross and Wardlow updates this week, Fightful Select. Ryan Adams says, NordVPN.com/Fightful, let me see Sammy's dance moves. Is there any story to this Miz and Gunther stuff? So here's one for you. FightfulSelect.com mentioned there is nothing to the Miz thing. Nobody in WWE has been informed of any change to his status as of now. Gunther, also nothing. It's just nothing. It's just a coincidence. Luis mentioned, subscribe to Fightful Select Espanol. So, I want to take like maybe 30 seconds and plug this. Luis is running Fightful Espanol. We do not have a revenue source here yet, so we can't hire people for it. We're looking to build it. But Rocky Romero straight up told me, hey, brother, you need to get on Instagram and Facebook for Espanol. So we did that. Luis, we got him a Fightful email. He started up Fightful Espanol on Instagram, Facebook, and we have it on Twitter, plus Patreon. If you are a Spanish language speaker, please support that. Luis does a phenomenal job there. And mark my words, we will become newsbreakers in that element of things. We've had people already excited that we're doing that. Gary says, Ludwig Kaiser to SmackDown soon. There needs to be changes with some talent, like you mentioned, like Pretty Deadly or Lost on shows. I was so surprised, Gary, that Pretty Deadly became Lost on the show. But Ludwig Kaiser is one, like he's got the stamp of approval from Undertaker, who pretty good at recognizing main event talent, I would say. I think that Ludwig Kaiser being the catalyst for Gunther's blame pretty soon would be good. I just, like, would Ludwig as a pseudo babyface work? I don't know. He seems good at being a heel, but I think you could get sympathy for him off of Gunther doing that. A lot of times because, like, Gunther doesn't do that, right? Like, Gunther doesn't put the blame on other people. Gunther is usually very, very responsible about his losses, and he takes it like a champ. And he's like, nope, that's the way it went. And he owns up to it. So I think that him finally blaming somebody else could be a good plot point. But I think if you just send Ludwig Kaiser to SmackDown, unless it's like an abrupt, like if you all remember the JBL push in like 2004, I don't know that they'll really change. It's same creative, both teams. It's not like 2003, right, where the creative teams were like competing with each other. They're working in synergy now. Men's Money in the Bank qualifier. El Grande Americano defeats CM Punk and AJ Styles. Alan Hess says, did AJ seem extra emotional during his entrance? I promise I'm asking weekly about his contract status. But he's also one that I'm like, if he's on his way out, give him something substantial. BL says, with how Raw ended, can you see it extending to War Games? If so, who would you add to each team? Ooh. That's a good one. Well, I think this stable absolutely is going to War Games. Oh, man. Well, the foundation of Seth Rollins is that he isn't okay with the bloodline. Damn, man. Let me hear some suggestions in the chat. Cody and Cena, yeah, you could. You could. It'd be a way for them to not. Well, yeah, Cody and Cena against them, because I think Cena will be a babyface by then. If it's happening in November, Cena's probably going to be a babyface by then. Ooh. BL, I'll get back to that one. The Line Drive says, I don't know why, but El Grande Americano has basically become a symbol of everything wrong with WWE right now. Culturally, tone-deaf, waste of a mid-card talent, and lazy booking. Well, buddy, he won with the old headbutt, with the metal thing, but let me tell you what happened before interference happened before. Thank God they added some interference to this match. If there's one thing that I wanted in a match with Chad Gable under a mask, CM Punk, and AJ Styles, the first AJ Styles and CM Punk match in 20 plus years. What? Color me surprised. Why? It doesn't need to do this. This can. Nobody ever really gets over. Now, I will say this. At least in the qualifiers, somebody gets something as a result of this interference. And if you were going to do interference in one match, it's this one, because CM Punk gets cost something by this stable. Now, you want to say who should be involved in this War Games? I think AJ Styles would make a lot of sense right now, because he just got cost that by interference as well. And to Flame Inc., I'll point this at you. Years and years ago, I got so frustrated when every AEW match ended with beatdown, make the save, gang wars. It was the running joke on our show. Gang wars. I love this faction. Seth Rollins, Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker. If they are so dominant, why do you need to cut off matches before they're over? Why aren't they winning? Come on, what? This is what they did to American Made, too. It's like, oh, okay, here you go. Fresh new start. No, you're going to lose all the time. Not until they gave Chad Gable a freaking mask did he start winning. Why do we need two Bron Breakker DQs? Why can't we have him mow through people? Have him mow down dudes. Yeah, I like the idea of AJ Styles getting involved. John Cena is probably going to get involved. I just don't know who would fit with those three right now. It'd have to be some SmackDown help, I think. Soupy Toaster Son sends a Humper Chat and says, hey, since Triple H allegedly doesn't like the Money in the Bank stip, how would it be if he just uses it to have El Grande Americano use it for the AAA belt? Soupy Toaster Son, I think you are onto something very real here. Now, I think Naomi wins, and by the way, I love the women's lineup for that. I think you're onto something, buddy. Chad Gable loses the match to Vikingo. El Grande Americano cashes in. I don't like it, but I see it. Now, something that actually somebody in AEW had pointed out to me the other day when I believe it was WrestleVotes. I want to shout them out for mentioning Triple H isn't really a fan of the concept. Somebody there said, do you realize that Triple H has never been in a Money in the Bank match? He has never won Money in the Bank briefcase. He has never been cashed in on for the Money in the Bank. And I was like, oh my God, they're right. And he had a few of those. Anyway, I don't think he's even been in a qualifying match. He stayed way away, way away. So, man, with how Raw ended, could you see it extending to War Games? And if so, how would you? Well, if it's War Games, you add the biggest names. Cody, Cena somehow. Maybe AJ in some capacity. Maybe Jimmy. Somebody to really rile up Seth, like Jacob Fatu or Jimmy Uso. But that's what they do. That's what they do. Guys, get your super chats, humper chats in. We are at the end of the show, but I did want to talk about this because Tony P sent a super chat in and said, hope you and the other creators find a way to stop Sports Kita's thieving way. As a creative person, I understand your anger. And somebody said, can you explain the Sports Kita beef with me? Yes, I would love to. Sports Kita is a site based in India that is very good at manipulating and accelerating SEO. So for some of you, you'll have no idea what that is. Search engine optimization. Where do you appear on Google rankings? When somebody swipes their phone, what does their phone's news thing show them? All that. They're very good at manipulating that. They're also very good at clickbait. I know, coming from a wrestling writer, people will say, all y'all do is clickbait. No, different level of insane clickbait over there. You will see articles that are like, Dominic Mysterio retiring? And then you click on it and it says, examining the possibilities. And it's just the most insane bullshit ever. I have taken issue with things that they've done in the past because they have a thing called a referral program, which means all these really, really, really terrible Facebook pages that you see that are posting clickbait, then you'll go to the replies and you'll see a Sports Kita link. Why is that? Because they get paid off of those clicks. So as a result, Sports Kita has had no oversight on their referral program to the point to where myself and a number of media members have had to say, hey, your referral program has a person claiming that this wrestler has cancer. That's not true. That's not an article. There was a women's wrestler who reached out to me, sent me a screenshot of a Sports Kita referral program post, and it was a half-naked AI picture of herself, a person who dresses pretty conservatively. And she was like, can you help me get this down? Why is this there, and why is it linking to this website? I explained why. They were mortified. Those aren't even the issues that I have brought up. This past week, I took issue with someone that worked there and not giving appropriate credit. We handled that interpersonally. We had a man-to-man conversation about that, and we discussed that. Then somebody hit me up, and they said, did you know about their no backlinking policy? So again, for many people, it'll be just really boring to hear this. But in media, period, the common courtesy thing is when you are aggregating, which means taking from a person who created. So, for example, if Fightful writes an article about Denise Salcedo's interview or WrestleZone's interview, we, in Denise's case, we embed the video because that's her medium. For WrestleZone's case, we embed the video and send a link. Or we post the link there. What happens is that helps Google understand that that outlet is reputable. When you have high traffic websites linking to the person who originally does that, that sends some traffic their way as well. Also, there's a number of outlets like Sports Illustrated and some others that still pay per click. Like, so some of these writers that are going out and working hard and doing these interviews with talent and promoting them, they only really get as much money as they can drive from traffic on that. So what I learned was Sports Kita has a very strict no backlinking policy, which means they'll be like, here's what Fightful reported. Here's what Fightful Select reported. They'll give us the credit, but they refuse to link to it. Why is that? Because that helps us, and it takes a little bit of SEO juice out of them for Google. So what they are doing is intentionally harming the people that actually create the stuff that they are using, which, by the way, they then turn into monetization on Facebook. I had been told that they were making over $30,000 on their Facebook wrestling page alone a month on that. So, I mean, you could imagine somebody like me who reports a significant percentage of wrestling news in the space, how much money they have made off of our work. Now, aggregation is common. It is necessary. It's a part of what you learn in media and journalism school. That happens. But the common courtesy, and while people say, sue them, take them to court, I don't think it's illegal. But it is ethically scummy. Now, what I did was I reached out to, I believe it's Riju, who's one of their content directors, reached out to six of their editors. I reached out to both of their Twitter accounts, which follow me, reached out to their editor who subscribes to us on Select, and I asked for any clarification, any idea why this happens, if they could change it. And not only did they not address it, but he blocked me. So he saw it. And by the way, I also had Bill Apter, who is my mentor, who works there, who I like and respect, reach out to the editor. Because one time when I had an issue with them, they had him come to me and ask me to take the criticism down. So it's very frustrating. It really bothers me for the wrestle purists and the PWNs of the world. But when there is a place like Sports Keto, which I can guarantee you, they make six figures a year off of my work alone. Six figures a year off of mine, off of aggregating me, much less. Think about PW Insider. Think about WrestleZone. Think about even like Ella J, Denise Salcedo, Demon Diva, Mona, any of these people, Malcolm, any of these people that are going to these junkets and doing the work, they're making money off them too. And it's okay. Like that's aggregation that happens. But when you don't backlink, that is scumbag behavior. When you set up a no backlink policy, it's scumbag behavior. And hey, if you're listening to this and you cover NASCAR, you cover football, you cover anything, they're doing it to you too. And I really think if you care about even a little bit about media, wrestling media, and media in general, this is a company that just spent $1.25 million to buy aggregators like TJR Wrestling and ITR Wrestling, which some of you might not know about, but rank highly on Google. And this type of thing really affects creators negatively. Like, listen, piracy is everywhere. I ask you all to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com because every one of these aggregators gets things wrong. Not saying they're bad, but they all get things wrong. I'd rather you all support us directly. Sports Keto not only doesn't support us directly, they go out of their way to harm us. Meanwhile, OG sites like WrestleTalk, Wrestling Headlines, Lords of Pain, they have subscribed to Fightful Select at like tiers that are just like, here you go, we appreciate what you're doing tiers. So listen, I tried to reach out to the people at Sports Keto, tried very hard to do that. They were not interested. So listen, I'll just take action in another way. Parker Hines says, I need a wrestling wedding. What would be a good wrestling wedding right now? Well, right now, I don't know. Shaza has always wanted one, and I want her to get one. Mance Warner and Steph DeLander. That's the one. Mance Warner and Steph DeLander would be ideal. That's what I like. Dave Koss says, rank these truth moments, setting up the ladder and climbing during the Rumble. That was a great one. Asking for a hot tag during the Rumble. Listen, I got that one at the bottom of the ones you mentioned. Breaking Brock Lesnar, that's at the top. Being able to break Brock Lesnar is incredible. Sig Smoking and Little Jimmy's debut. I don't remember Sig Smoking. Little Jimmy, man, him coming out singing that song. That's probably three. I'd put it the Brock thing, the Rumble ladder match, Little Jimmy's debut, hot tag in the Rumble, and I don't remember the Sig Smoking. Man, what a lovely guy R-Truth is. I do the Fightful Awards every year, and man, I call in a lot of favors to get those award speeches. It's very important to me because it's important to our audience. We spend good money on those awards as well. And when I pitched to R-Truth that I wanted to do a thing where he accepted the award on behalf of Judgment Day and then Rhea would come behind him and take it, he loved that idea. He was such a pro. He was so wonderful. So wonderful. Sports Kita versus Ringside News. Who's worst? Listen, I don't want to comment on Ringside News outside of they also very intentionally do not backlink us as a policy. Intentionally. I think they do for other people, but I don't go to their website. The Line Drive says, waiting for Buddy Matthews to jump to have the absolute insanity of a Rhea Ripley wrestling wedding. They seem like the happiest couple, right? Like the most secure, happiest couple. Another couple of really, really lovely human beings there that I've always loved doing work with as well. But by God, tonight I thought, listen, guys, I got to be real. I was like, how am I going to make an hour out of this show? I had a great time talking about this show tonight. I'm going to be back here Wednesday afternoon with Jimmy Van, Wednesday night with Alex. I am going to be here Saturday night for Money in the Bank. That's going to be a really good one. We're going to be talking about new partner of ours, MyBookie AG, once we get that nailed down. But I just want to say I appreciate you all being here. This has been one of our most watched live shows in a long time. I know R-Truth had a bunch to do with that. But by God, we're here talking all the time. And it's not just me. Tomorrow night, Alex and Kate do an NXT review. I've had people say, why don't you get people that actually like NXT to review it? I have yet to run into a lot of long-term reviewers of that show that just speak glowingly over and over about it. I'm sorry, but that's what we got. But we have Kate and Alexis on Fridays. We've got the TNA post show on Thursdays. We just got a ton of content here. Please go check out right now. Just click on it. Just go click on it. I'm going to keep count. Matt Cardona interview the other day went under the radar. I asked him if he gets tired of talking about the Royal Rumble questions, asked him about Chelsea Green's collectibles, about his own figure line, and about his AEW match with Cope, all that. It's really good. Also have that interview with Muhammad Hassan that dropped a couple weeks ago. Been doing really, really good numbers, at least for us, with the algorithm not favoring us. But thank you all so much. Tonight was a great show. Until next time, my friends, leave a thumbs up. Leave a thumbs up. We're out.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.